A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Here am I, Lord, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God.
Here am I, Lord, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
Sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocaust or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, "Behold, I come."
Here am I, Lord, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will. O my God is my delight, and your law is within my heart.
Here am I, Lord, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you know, O Lord.
Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. I come to do your will.
A reading from the beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sacrificed in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. To those who accepted him, he gave power to become children of God.
Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's so great to be with y'all this morning. As Father Kyle said, my name is Deacon Kevin, and I grew up in Metairie. I went to Jesuit High School, and I graduated there in 2011. So I know I don't necessarily look it, but I am 30 years old, and for the past 4.5 years, I've been at Notre Dame Seminary, so that's where I visit y'all from today. It's in New Orleans, right across the street from Rock and Roll on South Carrollton Avenue, if y'all, you know, have seen like a big brick building and just didn't know what it was, but that's where I've been living and doing classes for the past 4.5 years. But when I first started seminary, I really didn't know if I was called to be a priest. It's just something that had been, you know, on and off in my mind for a few years, so I just decided to enter and give seminary a shot, and I'm really so glad that I did that. It wasn't long after I started seminary that I realized that I really am being called by the Lord, and the priesthood really is what God built me for. So, God willing, I'll be ordained a priest June 3rd, of this year, this summer. Last summer, though, I was ordained a deacon. So typically, before you are ordained a priest, you're first a deacon for a year, kind of getting your feet wet in ministry. And so that's where I'm at right now. And really, I just want to thank all of y'all who've ever prayed for vocations. It's those prayers, they definitely do work, and I've personally benefited from them. So thank you all so much. There was just a lot of graces in that initial nudge to check seminary out, and then just a lot of graces through those, you know, 4+ years of seminary. So thank you all so much, and please do keep praying for vocations, you know, for the archdiocese and from this parish and everything. And then I also want to add that based on my own experience and some of the men, you know, I've met in seminary, I can say that if you or anyone you know has thought about the priesthood or religious life, you know, somewhat seriously or on and off again, it's definitely worth looking into. That interest or that openness might actually be God's way of calling you into seminary. And once you're there or in your house of formation, if you're, you know, discerning like being a sister, it's the perfect place to figure out whether or not you're called. Because some people enter, you know, they get a really clear message that they're meant to be a priest or a sister, and so they enter totally sure. But that's definitely not everyone, and that wasn't me. But I do know a number of guys who were, you know, not totally sure, but they entered seminary and you decided to spend at least a year there with an open heart, ready to do God's will. And some of those men now are priests or are going to become priests. And other men, though, they got clarity that they're called in a different direction. But seminary is still a blessing for those guys and all people, because it's a time to focus on your spiritual life and get some real, you know, clarity on where God's calling you. And I've been in seminary long enough now to where I know a number of guys who spent time in seminary with me, but they've, you know, been called somewhere else and they left, and now they're married and having kids, which is a really wonderful, beautiful thing, because as y'all know, we're not all called to be priests, but we are all made for something. As Isaiah said, God forms us in the womb. So God has this plan for the world, and within that, He has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. God formed you with that plan in mind. So that's why we never have to fear our vocation, because it's what we are built for. That's where we can find the truest fulfillment. So what you value most, your talents, and all of that, it wasn't just given to you at random. They were given to you with a purpose by a God who loves you, to equip you and lead you into his plan for you. So I do want to ask, what is God calling you to? What are his hopes for you? Is God in leading you towards anything in life? And a lot of the time, I think we underestimate our role and underestimate what God needs us to be for his plan. That's what Israel was doing in our first reading. God asked Israel to serve him, and Israel says, yes, God, we are ready. But they thought their vocation was just to gather the brother tribes, to bring Israel back under God. But God had something in mind bigger. He needed Israel to do that, yes, but also to be a light to all nations, to bring all people to God. A tall order, but look at where Christians are now. Billions of people every Sunday from all nations in the world gather together to worship the Lord. So that job that Israel didn't even think was possible, it came true. And God still is not done spreading his word. He wants all people to hear the good news and accept that good news with joy, so their sins can be wiped away and so they can enter into that life-giving relationship with God. God wants more people like John the Baptist who point to Jesus and lead people to him. God wants more people, even the people who right now they're not, maybe not believing or not practicing. He wants them to know Jesus. And most of the time, getting those people into the fold, I don't think it's the job of the priest. And my point is, you know, I've seen many amazing priests do amazing work, but most of their time is in the parish. You know, their main calling is to be in the parish, giving out sacraments and helping out those ministries. That's the bulk of their time. And they're not in the outside world. But God does have a plan for each family out there, each neighborhood out there, each place of work. And his plans for those places involve you. The lay faithful who live in the world, who work in the world, and have daily contact with people who might never step foot in a church, unless they're pointed to Jesus and invited by someone. So there's this real beautiful partnership between a priest and his parishioners, where the priest really pours himself into his ministry and serves his people and helps them grow. But then those people after Mass, they're sent out into the world to take what we do in here and bring some of that goodness into the world. You are the light of the world. In this world that has so much darkness, you're a light that transforms the world and offers hope to the hopeless by pointing to Jesus. So that's why the church needs both priests and lay faithful, people like you all. The way I see it, God gives each of us like an area of influence, an area where we can spread goodness. So for a priest, I think most of it is the parish and its parishioners. But for other people, it involves their home, family, coworkers, neighborhood, all the places that they frequent. In the first reading, Israel thought their area of influence was just the other Israelites. But God told them that it was much bigger. They needed to spread their God to all nations across the world. So to end, I ask, what is your sense of God's plan for you? Is there anything more, anything bigger that God needs from you and is leading you towards? Maybe it is to share the gospel with someone, or maybe it's something just totally different. But whatever it is that God's calling you to, even if it's something big, there's no reason to run from it or put up any type of resistance, even if it's a little scary. You know, have no fear, as the Bible says over and over again, because God can do amazing work through us, and God made you with that calling in mind.